Bulldog Live here on the Pulse, 1-866-823-1077. One of the recurring issues in our coverage on this Northern Pass project, one of the concerns that I keep raising and have been, well, since one of the earliest that I've been starting to cover this, and that is the impact of this project on property values. And I think it's important to point out real quick some testimony that was given. One of the things that we've heard from the very beginning was that this is going to be great for our communities. It's going to increase the tax base. We're going to have so much new taxes. All the towns along the project route are going to be swimming in money. That's you know, maybe overstating it somewhat. I don't know. But there was a hearing, legislative hearing, and I share with you the audio at this time. It's been a while. I wanted to play this for you again before we introduce our next guest here. House Bill 302, which was to change the what would qualify for renewable energy credits, in February. Now, Lisa Shapiro, who is a lobbyist and who you know had drawn up these charts that are floated around about the various towns getting this new tax money from the mere fact that there would be these towers up to 135 foot tall going through their town, kept saying, well, gee, look at all the tax benefits. Well, Lisa Shapiro was asked during her testimony about those property values.
We heard about the property value benefits of new commercial and industrial whatever. But did you factor in maybe the property value decreases that we heard about today due to view shed and things like that?
Right. No. The any negative impacts due to view shed or siting are going to go through the process. One of the criteria I think Attorney Bisbee just walked you through with the Siting Evaluation Committee, for example, is to minimize negative adverse impacts on issues like aesthetics. So until we go through this process of working with people to identify which properties, how do you make it so that it has minimal impact, and then I think you can step back and take a snapshot. But I know there is a lot of concern, and it has to be evaluated on the sites that are affected. And what sites are affected or not is going to be determined through the process of where exactly that's going to go, how can you mitigate, what's the size of the towers, how wide, can you screen it by just moving it a little way over the hill. You know, how do you address it so that you have this positive impact of $25 million, and how do you make sure that this is pretty much held intact and that you're not seeing the reductions that people are fearful of. So that will come through the siting process, and I'm sure there'll be testimony and analysis submitted through there to make sure that this is not eroded.
So that's Lisa Shapiro's answer to that question. Long term, you know, the very first word in her answer was no. You know, did you consider the negative property impacts on this? And that is one of the other issues that came up repeatedly during the environmental impact study public scoping comments from the Department of Energy last month. And joining us now on the phone is a man who's the subject of a story in today's New Hampshire Union Leader, Jim Danis from Dalton, who had some property appraisals done even before the snow fell. And the results of those studies were made as part of his intervener status comments to the Department of Energy and is the subject of today's story. And Jim Danis, welcome to Bulldog Live. How are you today? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right. So on this Northern Pass project, you just heard Lisa Shapiro's comments here. You've done, what is it? You have two studies here that would show you know, well, that you could lose quite a bit of value.
Right. What we thought was important, Brian, was to try to counter this sort of information blitz that came out of Northern Pass with some professional information from the opposition. And so we went out and we commissioned a couple of studies to look at our property and to assess these claims that Northern Pass was making about the siting of the line and about how this is all about benefits and costs are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and you know, the long story short here, there is in factoring in three different points of one of these studies, that your property value is going to drop precipitously, even if it's a building lot or just woodland.
Yeah, the first study, Brian, is an appraisal, and what we did is we went to a certified real estate appraiser in New Hampshire, and we asked the appraiser to do a full-blown professional job of looking at our property and saying what would happen if these huge towers were to be put in across the land. And the appraiser worked on it for months. We have, I think, 500 pages of background from the work in the files. And here are the conclusions. Looking at a building site, which is roughly 12 acres, which happens to be the place where our son would like to build his house, what the appraiser said is that if you look at running the lines down the middle of this site, which is what Northern Pass proposed to do, it would reduce the value of this 12-acre lot by 91%.
Wow. Now, I know Martin Murray, who was quoted in the story from an email on Friday, saying that finds that certainly curious.
Well, I got to say, with respect, I found what Northern Pass put up on its website, I wouldn't use the word curious. I would use the word misleading and incomplete. They put up a study on their website trying to sort of tell landowners not to worry that if these power lines come on your land, you'll only look at a 3 to a 6% decline in value. I think the study said maybe up to 10%. Well, we read that study, and we went and we looked at the appendix, and it turns out that study is based on looking at urban land or suburban land or developed land, not at all relevant to New Hampshire. Just another example of putting out, in my view, information that is just irrelevant to the questions for New Hampshire.
Right, and this is similar to what the real estate agent from Lancaster, Peter Powell, had pointed out. A lot of studies have been done in urban and suburban settings, and the speculation based on the trends that he was able to see is that the impact on rural lands would be even greater. As we're seeing here, the building site that you cited here, the 12.5 acres, a decrease of 91%. After the power lines would go through your property.
It is spot on, Brian. The difference, it's a common sense kind of difference, right? If you're driving through the suburbs of Hartford, Connecticut, where there are transmission lines all over the place, and you stop by a building lot, and you say, well, gee, if they slapped another transmission line right into the view, what would it do? Well, it would do just about nothing, because there are transmission lines all over the place. If you come up to northern New Hampshire, where the baseline is wide open, view land, right? We've got lots of hills, lots of valleys, we've got lots of beauty up here. And it's totally different question to say what would happen to that value if you slap a transmission line down the middle. And, you know, with respect to PS&H calling this appraisal curious, again, with respect, this is a certified appraisal under New Hampshire appraisal standards. And the conclusion it comes to is, again, very much common sense. You take a really nice view lot, you slap a transmission line down the middle, and it's no longer saleable to somebody who wants to build a nice house. It's only got residual value left because nobody wants to build there.
Right, and you know, people can look up your comments at the northernpasseis.us website under comments, and currently they would scroll over to page 7. No, that would be under intervener comments, and then you scroll over to the 7th page to find yours, which details a lot of what you're talking about, and the union leader summarizes it fairly well, I think. But here you have a woods in the field of 135 acres. We're seeing a 63% decrease in values. We're seeing a 32.5-acre field where that has gone down 84% in value if the power lines were to come through there.
Yeah, and it's important to raise those larger pieces of land as well, because a lot of people up here have got land they've had in their family for generations, and they've got fields, they've got forests. The idea that just because you put the transmission line through a forest is not going to decrease value, absolutely untrue. These transmission lines would tower above the normal tree height here. And so you're going to have a visual impact and a value impact no matter where you put it. And the point of this appraisal was to show three different sizes of pieces of land to show people that the impacts exist in all cases. And remember, Brian, this is only vacant land. There's no house on this. There's no barn on this. There are no improvements. If you went and did this kind of appraisal where you had smaller house lots with houses on them, I think the results would be even worse.
Well, I'm just trying to think, what would happen if someone's got a mortgage on the property? You do have a house there, and if these statistics are certainly accurate, which I know you don't doubt that they are, what would happen to the mortgage on that property? The banks would certainly get a little bit nervous, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I really don't know how banks would act, but you would think if a bank is concerned about whether if it's got a mortgage of $100,000 and if a property's gone from a value of $120,000 to $30,000, if you're a bank that doesn't want to get bailed out by the federal government, I hope you're worrying about it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, this appraisal that was done, you paid for it, right?
We did, and I want to say something about that as well, Brian. We felt, Sandy and I felt, that there was so much misinformation being tossed around by the applicants here that it was important for us to put our own money on the line to show what the facts are. And so we stepped up to the plate to do this. And we think it is horribly unfair that people in New Hampshire have to pay their own money to get appraisals when you have a government called a state government and a federal government who are running a process here and who are letting this applicant get away with putting out what we say with carefully chosen words is incomplete and misleading information. We had to pay for this study to prove that that is incomplete and misleading. We hope that our federal and state agencies will step up to the plate now and do some of this work themselves.
Now, the appraisal, this was done, I see two different names of companies in here, White Mountain Appraisals and then Watershed to Wildlife.
Right.
What's the difference with those two companies?
Sure. White Mountain Appraisals did the real estate appraisal, Brian, and Watershed to Wildlife, we asked them to do a different study. We asked them to assess basically the claims that Northern Pass has been making that they cited these lines, I think they say in the presidential permit application, after carefully reviewing 500 alternative routes or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked Watershed to Wildlife, who are environmental consultants, to look at where that fat line had been drawn on the map across our property and say, is that a sensible place to put a line?
All right, now where you are located in Dalton, which is in the Connecticut River Valley, up near Whitefield, you would have been on the alternate route, right?
That's right.
Okay, which if Northern Pass is to be taken at their word, that's now been taken off the table.
well, they say again that's another misimpression. I think they say it's taken off the table. But what happens if it turns out that when they try to go on their preferred route, it turns out that they haven't done their deed research correctly and the existing rights of way don't allow what they want to do? I think anybody who thinks that just because they're on an alternative route, they're safe now, ought to look at it again. You know, we're all in the crosshairs here until this project is either built or dead.
Well, what I found very curious, too, when they were dropping the alternate routes, they say, well, we weren't really serious about them because we just had to put a line on the map to show the Department of Energy something for the public scoping comment.
Well, now you're just jerking my chain, Brian. right. Take that as its word. Can you imagine the grief and pain these people caused by putting these lines over different pieces of land if they really didn't take it seriously? What is up with that?
Well, I can tell you some of the pain that was caused by attending the public scoping meeting in Haverhill when a lawyer from Landaf had spoken about one of his clients who desperately needs money to pay for nursing home care to sell their land. They can't sell the land with the threat of the power line going over their property, which was on the proposed alternate route. And I wonder, If that route is indeed gone from any further consideration, can they sell that property today? I would be curious in that answer.
Let me tell you, Brian, even if I loved that piece of property, I wouldn't buy it because I wouldn't believe that any alternative route is gone. I think that there's uncertainty that's been created here until this project comes to a conclusion. How do we know what the DOE or the Site Evaluation Committee or Northern Pass, when they wake up tomorrow, how do we know what they're going to say is the best route? We don't know.
Well, exactly. I mentioned the intervener comments that you had made to the Department of Energy just about a little over a week ago. I'm going to post this on my website on Northern Pass page at briantilton.com along with this union leader story today for everybody to read. We're looking at this, and you're looking just at your property, the economic impact on the various lots that you have, as well as the environmental impact. Do multiply that up and down the entire proposed routes.
We did what I would call a desktop exercise, meaning it's really just estimates. It's not you can't take it to the bank. But we took the methodology, the methodology that the appraiser used, and we said, let's imagine our land is representative of land up and down the valley. And let's look only at the land that is actually crossed by the line and land with a very small buffer, a couple thousand feet, on each side of the line. Let's just apply that appraisal to an average mile of land. And the number and this is, Brian, without any houses or improvements, so just vacant land and in the size of these big lots. And the number we came up with was $1 million a mile. That is almost certainly going to be way too low when you move further south where the lots are smaller and there are houses on them. But again, for up here, the number we came up with is that every mile that they put these lines causes a decline in value to the raw land under and right around those lines by $1 million a mile. Now, let me tell you, that certainly in my mind calls into question all these claims being made of $25 million of local property taxes. How can you possibly make a responsible claim about tax impact without looking at the decline in value of land?
Well, as we heard right before I introduced you, they haven't factored that in because they haven't figured out where the tower is going to go yet.
I used to work in business, and with respect, I would hazard a guess, an opinion, that somewhere somebody has thought about this. It would be, let me state it this way, it would be very poor corporate planning to launch a project like this without having done some analysis of what it's going to cost you to pay out eminent domain damages if you have to take land. Somebody has had to figure this out, in my estimation, in order to get the project this far.
Right. Now you are a New Hampshire native from the southern part of the state.
I am.
From Raymond,
That's right. As
the story says, and you served as a selectman in Milford as well.
That's right.
All right, and then you also have experience as an attorney.
Yep.
So, good. Okay. Just wanted to point that out, that you know a little bit about the southern part of the state. This is not just a North Country issue, as some would make it out to be.
No, and it's distressing, as I'm sure it is to you and other and your listeners. The impacts are statewide. The question of public policy is statewide. Our friends and neighbors in places like Deerfield and Chichester are focusing now on how big the impacts can be there. But there's a really big point here, which is the beauty of New Hampshire and our heritage is an asset of the state and our people. It's an asset of New England. It's an asset of the entire country. These people who paint this as a NIMBY issue, I think just are totally off the mark. This is a question of public policy. Do we want these towers marching through the most pristine and beautiful areas of our state that are the places where people from all over the region and sometimes the world come to visit and to do recreation?
All right. Well, Jim Dattis, I've got to run here. Thank you very much for talking to us today about your properties in Dalton and the studies that you had done. I want to talk to you more about these types of figures in the future.
Absolutely. In fact, what I would love to do, and I'll make it an open invitation, we've been trying our best to get a discussion of the numbers. I think Paula Tracy did a great job in her Union Leader article to get some numbers out. I would love to have more discussion of the claims made by Northern Pass on a numbers basis, like savings to consumers, like how much money Hydro-Quebec will make. I would love to come on your show with a representative from Northern Pass to debate the numbers.
All right. Well, Jim Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. You take care.